The House will now have under consideration House Bill 252. Gentleman from five.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request unanimous consent to dispense with the further reading of House Bill 252.
Without objection, the gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I also request unanimous consent to dispense with Rule 22 so that other legislation might be referred to.
Heard the request or objection? Hearing none, the gentleman may refer to other legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, members of the House, House Bill 252 is enormous, not in its size, but in its content. It accomplishes something that was thought to be insurmountable, that being consensus among the Idaho School Boards Association, the Idaho School Administrators Association, and the Idaho Education Association for the passage of the legislation before you. Members of the House, House Bill 252 replaces House Bill 117. Mr. Speaker, may I take a point of personal privilege right here?
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, I would be remiss today if I didn't thank the following four members of this body. The good gentleman from District 22, Representative Wills. The good gentleman from District 34, Representative Shirley. The good lady from District 7, Representative Chavez. And the good lady from District 25, Representative Pence. Their hard work, along with the previously mentioned associations and myself, spent more than 4 weeks working and compromising on this legislation. The good gentleman from 22 chaired many meetings, some very early in the morning and some late into the day, but he kept the group on task and the target in sight. When tempers started to flare, Mr. Speaker, including my own, the good gentleman brought everything back into focus. For that good gentleman from 22, I'm grateful. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for that. Well, members of the House, in this time of financial hardships and financial crisis, current Idaho code will not allow for the reductions public education will be facing without the changes House Bill 252 brings. Please follow with me as I discuss House Bill 252. And Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I believe the best place to start is on page 5, section 3. This adds a new section to Idaho code that addresses the whole reason I stand before you today with this piece of legislation. 33.522 deals with financial emergencies. And I would like to discuss in some detail this new section. As I said, it's the whole reason this bill is before you today. Paragraph 2, sections A and B, I would like to mention those reductions in base multipliers, because it references code section 33.1004E. Those are the parts of code that deal with the school district salary-based apportionment that the state sends to the local districts. This section lays out the index for instructional staff, administrative staff, and classified staff. It also states what the minimum instructional pay will be. Now, when we declare, or the state, or I should say a local school district needs to declare a financial emergency, they have to meet. Prior to declaring the financial emergency, the trustees will hold a public hearing for receiving input concerning possible solutions for the financial problems that district's facing. Well, if they do declare or move to declare the financial emergency, then the State Department of Education needs to certify one or more of the conditions outlined in paragraphs A, B, or C therein too. Now, as I mentioned, A and B deal with 33.1004 and any reduction in the state apportionment might be. C deals with the amount of total general fund money appropriated per support unit, and if that's reduced by greater than 3% from the original general fund appropriations per support unit from any prior fiscal year. Members of the body, these are some of the issues that we debated and worked on for 4 weeks to find the compromise to where we could move this legislation forward with the support of all the people I've mentioned. Now, when we drop down into the second part of 33.522 to F, those are issues that a local district can declare. Those are issues that will face a local district. D talks about the amount of property tax revenue collected by a school district. E talks about a school district's general fund that's been decreased by 3% from the previous year. Again, a very big piece of compromise right there on that 3% number. But if we come to F, and I'd like to spend a little bit of time on F, because as I mentioned in the previous sections, if they can meet one of A, B, or C, F always has to be met. And if they can meet one of D or E, F also has to be met. So if you'd follow along with me on F, let's talk about that for a minute. The school district's unrestricted general fund balance, which excludes funds restricted by the state or federal law in considering both anticipated expenditures and revenues, is less than 5.5% of the school district's unrestricted general fund budget at the time the financial emergency is declared, or for the fiscal year for which the financial emergency is declared. Again, a number that was thrown about, talked about, numbers were as high as 9% and 10%. Some of the numbers got down as low as 3%. We were told that financial analysts and auditors, what they'll do is they will recommend higher numbers. But again, Mr. Speaker, members of the body, this is in a financial emergency. These are not easy things to do, so we wanted to make sure the numbers were there that would dictate the need for the financial emergency, but not drive a school district darn near into bankruptcy. So F is a part that will always be met or need to be met before a district can declare a financial emergency, and also a big part of the compromise piece of legislation before you. The rest of the new section deals with what the school district trustees shall do upon declaring a financial emergency. And let's go over the rest of the new section. Mr. Speaker, unlike House Bill 117 that had no mention of financial emergencies or sunsets, here is where you will find those issues mentioned. And I heard that on 117, that there were no sunsets. It just went on forever. And so this is a section, the rest of the new section of 33.522, section 4 there, paragraph 4 talks about after the declaration of financial emergency pursuant to subsection 2 has been met, both parties need to meet, confer in good faith, and an agreement has not been reached, the Board of Trustees may impose its last best offer. I repeat, if after the parties have met and conferred in good faith and an agreement has not been reached, the Board of Trustees may impose its last best offer following the outcome of the due process hearing, and we'll talk about that in an earlier section of the bill. Part 5 talks about the emergency declared pursuant to subsection 2 shall be in effect for 1 year only. There's the sunset, 1 year only. This won't continue unless we need to declare a financial emergency in subsequent years. And then again, we'll have to go through the same process. In the last part of the new section, Mr. Speaker, talks about the time requirements of sections 33.514 and 33.515.2 shall not apply in the event of a financial emergency is declared. Mr. Speaker, those are sections that deal with the issuance of teachers' contracts. Now, Mr. Speaker, members of the House, if we go to page 1, I'd like to just go over the last changes in this bill, and I'll make this brief. Page 1, the change there is just related to school district notice requirements. And we're just striking a couple of words there on page 1. And if you would open to page 2, you'll look at the new language, sentence inserted down on line 36. And it talks about the financial emergencies. And that's why I wanted to start with that new section. It talks about 33.522, the new section, the notice of annual meeting, the notice of annual budget hearing shall be posted pursuant to subsection 2 of this section for not less than 5 days. The rest of that language deals with small rural districts that might not have a weekly paper and can comply with all the existing language in 33.402. So we inserted that new language there. Over on page 3, we get into section 2 of the bill, 33.515, the issuance of renewable contracts, and the new language there is down on line 33. Again, it refers to the new part of code 33.522 and financial emergencies. If we turn over to page 4 in section or paragraph 7 there, this is a due process hearing, another part of long negotiations, the 4 weeks plus that we spent working out compromises. And this part is a due process hearing. If a group of trustees declare a financial emergency and before salary reductions can be met, the local education association, working with the local school board, will go through this due process hearing. The dates are all outlined there. Mr. Speaker, I believe that upon this bill passing and moving across the hall to the other body and upon showing up on the governor's desk, And by the time it possibly could be signed, that some districts could be just weeks, if not days, away from declaring a financial emergency this year. But I don't want to read through all of this. This is mostly existing language in another section of code. We've taken it out. We've added it to this section of code. I've already discussed the new section on page 533-522. I would just then go to page 7. We've just got some striking of some letters and some inserting of some numbers there on line 32 on page 7. On page 8, down on line 42, again, it's a reference to the new section. Page 9, down at the very bottom, again, we've just stricken a letter and inserted a number. And then on the very back of the bill, on page 10, the last page, an emergency clause that this section, emergency existing, that this would become in full force of law upon signing by the governor, passage, of course, by the legislature. Again, a piece of work that a lot of people spent a lot of hard hours on. It's got the support. There was no opposition to it in the committee. With that, Mr. Speaker, I would ask for your green light.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 28. Will the gentleman yield?
Gentleman yields.
The gentleman yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good gentleman. On page 4 of the bill, in lines, down there in the middle part of the line, it talks about the number of days, 67 days from the time financial emergency is declared, and then it gives a hard number of June 22nd. Can you speak to us a little bit, a good gentleman, about the significance of those dates?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good gentleman from 28. Again, this is language we find in other sections of Idaho law related to a due process hearing. If a district were to let a teacher go or attempt to let a teacher go, and the 67 days is a process that they need to run through for a due process hearing to give everyone, it's kind of outlined in the rest of the language. But the reason we put on or before June 22nd, whichever shall occur first, which is on line 23, is so a district has to have their budget set 7 days prior to the fiscal year and published. And so if we back out July 1st from July 22nd, it gives us our 7 days so the district, including those extra days, can set their budget. There is a possibility based on this legislation getting through the process that we could be bumping up against that 67 days, good gentlemen, and it could be compressed down to less than 67 days in certain circumstances, but I guess for lack of a better term, the drop dead date will be June 22nd.
Mr. Speaker, will the good gentleman yield further?
Will the gentleman yield further?
Gentleman yields.
The gentleman yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good gentleman. Then if I understand this particular section of the bill, if the district declared a financial emergency on June the 20th, the drop dead date would still be June the 22nd, so there would only be 2 days time for a due process hearing.
Mr. Speaker, good gentleman from 28, yeah, I guess in that case, but I can tell you, good gentleman, in talking with a number of school district trustees, you know, some districts are already starting to negotiate next year's contracts with teachers, and I believe there is some there is language related to May 15th that districts need to notify teachers, you know, if they're going to hire them back. Negotiations have started well before that. Districts would actually know, good gentleman from 28, prior to June 22nd, because this would not go into effect unless the state appropriated less money. As I mentioned in the new sections under paragraph 2, sections A and B, where there is a reduction of the base salary multipliers from the state. And so I guess the only example, good gentlemen, would be if we went through the legislature until June 21st, and on June 21st this legislation passed or JFAC made an appropriation, then those school districts would realize they would be in a financial emergency because we appropriated less money. But I just can't think of a situation, good gentlemen, where a district would wait that long based on when they start negotiations with their teachers now.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good gentleman.
Is there further debate? Lady from seven.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I might refer to the timeline.
The lady may refer.
The timeline to which the good gentleman from five was referring is April 1st is when JFAC would set the education budget. And then 67 days through that process, the board meets and they have the budget shortfall. The board posts a notice, they have public hearings, and it goes all the way through the process, and each of those dates is set out in what is specifically going to happen on that date. And the 22nd would be the date of the single mass due process hearing only if the association and the school board had not reached an agreement in good faith. That would only kick in. Otherwise, then it would go to the 29th. Then the contracts would be signed or whatever process would have been taken place. And then the notice to the teachers from the board about their status. And if I might continue.
The lady may continue.
Thank you. I would like to speak in favor of House Bill 252. For a month and a day, room 228 was alternately hot or cool, depending on the topic that was under discussion regarding measures and criteria to address a catastrophic economic emergency in the state of Idaho or in local school districts. All of those who were representing people whose lives and careers would be affected by this legislation were around the table. And with gracious yet firm facilitation by the good gentleman from District 22, agreement was reached. House Bill 252 is the result of a collaborative effort that will assist local school districts and local education associations to work together to address the financial needs of the local districts and how best to meet the needs, the educational needs of the children of Idaho. I would also like to thank my seatmate, the good gentleman from District 7, whose managerial mind was very helpful in helping me work around some of the processes here. This is very good policy. This is landmark and template kind of policy, and I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Lady from 25.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. As the good lady from 7 did say, we spent about a four-week period working on this House Bill 252, and it was really carefully crafted, respecting the needs of the stakeholders, whether it be legal or just so that they can respect the needs of their particular people that they represented. The legal requirements, I think, were especially important, because if the legal requirements were not met, then this bill probably would run into problems later on. And I think we were very careful on this to make sure that we met all those. It does give the tools to our local school districts and our education associations. And without these tools, they really couldn't deal with the economic emergencies, especially at the local level. I think that is what is so good about this. They can use the tools that are in this bill, and they can adjust to the conditions that they exist in that particular district. And that, as I said, that's the focal point, the thing that is really good about this bill. It is good legislation. Landmark has been referred to previously. We need your green light.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from seven.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was pleased to participate in this process as well. And I think what pleased me most is the ability to bring together disparate groups, working collaboratively to see to the best interests of the children of Idaho and the education that they'll receive. The school boards, the superintendents, the PTA, the Education Association, yes, even the legislature was looking out for the kids with this process. Things were discarded because they either were not necessary or would not have improved the overall result. Those things were not felt to be valuable by the stakeholders. And I think that what you have here is a good product, a good collaborative work, the way the government can work for its people when it has to, certainly when we get our backs against the wall. and I'd encourage your green light on that. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 22.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll make this brief. I have in my hand here, Mr. Speaker, approximately 50 drafts that were done in about a four-week period of refining this process. All of these individuals have talked about on the floor here today, all of the good ladies and gentlemen have talked about those present, but what we've also missed is that this was seen every single day by several attorneys. They were in those same committee meetings as well as the AG's office. So with that, I would certainly ask for your green light. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Hearing none, debate is closed. Question is, shall House Bill 252 pass? The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will record their votes. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the roll. Roll call shows 69 ayes, 0 nay, 1 absent and excused. A majority having voted in the affirmative, House Bill 252 has passed the House. Is there correction to title? Hearing none, the title is approved and the bill will be transmitted to the Senate.